Welcome back to America's Commercial Real Estate Show. I'm Michael Bull. Thank you for being with us. Well, this segment is brought to you by Red IQ. Check them out at rediq.com. They turn multifamily data into actionable intelligence. It's pretty cool. Check it out. Well, today we're talking about creative uses, adaptive reuse for retail properties. And you know, retail properties are certainly going through some changes, and you know, most of them are pretty well located. So it's very interesting to see what's happening in the retail world today. Please welcome my next guest. It's Ryan Miller. He's managing principal with Dwell Design Studio, and he's here in Studio One. Ryan, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. We're really excited to be here.
Good. Well, Ryan, you guys are working on big projects, great projects around the country, and I think it's interesting to see what some folks are doing with some of these properties. Mm-hmm. What are some of the uses for some of these big boxes where you guys have helped clients? What are some of the uses you think are interesting that maybe some people hadn't thought of before?
Yeah, we've changed into a lot of things that that are kind of thoughts outside the box, and those are continuing to develop as we look at them all over a lot of regions in the country. We have done some public libraries as backfill space to some of these older centers.
With books of people actually, paper books.
People that's right. Read, okay. People actually look at books, but no card catalog. Those are gone. And we've done some dog shelters, one for the Humane Society a few years back. It's typically things that are filling a need that isn't maybe necessarily a retail need, but it's something that is a use that's going to produce some rent for the landlord, but it's just a little bit of an outside-the-box use, not your typical retailer. We've done a little bit of office space, a little bit of medical office as well, which, again, fills a need in the community. The office folks get a place to have an office that's walkable to shops and some dining and some other uses they might need too.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting use, and I think we're going to see more of that. You think about businesses today, you know, office users are concerned about recruiting and retention. And you think about it, if you're in the right retail setting, you might have a walkability. You know, where I was talking to you before the show. My daughter's trying to pick where she wants to work. She's getting multiple offers. Just graduated from UGA. And one of the things she mentioned is, you know, it's interesting, Dad, to see the offices and what they're near and what it would be like to spend so much time there. Yeah. And retail might be just the answer for that.
Yeah, I think it could be for a lot of specific, could be some shared working spaces. And we've looked at a number of those, too, within a shopping center. I think the key thing is, again, to get the right uses next to it, some cool shops and restaurants, some services that people can use while they're at the office. But that sidewalk or that shopping center street becomes the amenity for the office that makes people want to be there, which I think is a great use.
Yeah. And you said you've done some educational uses in these projects?
Yeah, we've done everything from, you know, classrooms for a community college to some spaces for School of Cosmetology and things like that. And again, that's filling a need for the community and a use that is, again, a little bit different than retail, but certainly part of what a community center is.
Yeah. And as we're checking off potential uses, you said you also done one, changed one to a post office?
We did. We've done a couple of those, actually. Yeah. And, you know, when we look at these, we try to make them more than just another shopping center. We want to make them a place that's for the community. And there's just something about that post office still, something about that post office that is the civic use that kind of becomes a place people are going to come and use and something that is about their community. And we think that starts to lend itself to being a little bit more about the place that it is rather than anywhere USA.
Well, it's interesting to see post office because that's a place where people actually mail letters with stamps, right? And somebody delivers them. Yeah. I heard there's a thing called email. I know we still use mail as well, but it is interesting. So how do you get a place like that to become part of the community and give it an identity?
Yeah, we we look really hard at the community around it. We have done projects, well, we do them all over the country, all over the Southeast as well. A couple examples may be a center we did locally here in Roswell, where we took some of the aesthetics of the downtown. Some of the things we looked at were things like small details, but things that you can bring in that are recognizable to people. It was painted brick, was what this one happened to be. And some of the typical roofing and bracketing and lighting details and things like that that reminds people of the place where they live and what that architecture style looks like. That was one here in Roswell, and I think that one's done pretty well. Tenant mix is obviously a huge part of it too.
Yeah.
But architecturally, you know, there was one we're working on right now in Satellite Beach, which I didn't know till I went there, is the number one place to surf in Florida. So that idea of, and this one happens to be right across the street from the beach too, but having a place where people can drive over and wash their surfboard off after they're in the ocean and take it home, and just being a little more open, a little more beachy, if that's a word to use for that. Mm-hmm. But something aesthetically to bring it into what people think it needs to live and be in their community is what we try to attract.
Yeah. One of the things that I see in some of these large boxes is now flea markets, but you have a more professional word for those, right?
Yeah, well, we've looked at some too that are creating market stalls. Inside there. So maybe there's not such a bad name connotation with a market stall, but it's the same thing. And going in and backfilling, 20, 30, even more, up to 40,000 feet of these places that people can walk through and rent smaller booths out to sell their things. Many times they're not even manned inside, but it's just a place where they're displaying their wares. I know we've done a couple that were more antique driven than that, where people can walk through. But those have been pretty successful, especially if you've got a box of that size and can do it. But it's a unique destination for sure.
Yeah. Well, those are some interesting uses. And what about rural properties? You know, some of these retail boxes and some of these rural markets, it's hard to think about what to do in those.
Yeah. You know, that was a couple that we have done that had become Humane Society. It was the one where an old Walmart box was vacated by Walmart to build the new Walmart concept just a mile down the road or so. So there was that. There was some discounters. There was a dollar store or Dollar General has moved into some of those spaces and taken a piece of those as well. We've done some things, as exciting as call centers and things like that with an office lobby or something like that up front just for some of their front office personnel, but then a big wide open space was perfect for them.
Yeah.
So some of those things have worked well, and that happened to be one of the ones with the School of Cosmetology in it as well. So it's again a way to use that space that's useful to the community and maybe unique to the community that gave that space or that center some interest.
Yeah, that's cool. We sold a large vacant single tenant big box for a retailer that no longer needed it. The retail had kind of moved to another intersection and ended up being a medical user that we sold it to, and they had lab space, and it was interesting. It wasn't a dock in a box by any means. It was a big kind of more medical lab office type. And then you said a term earlier when I was chatting with you before the show that I liked when you're talking about malls and changing those.
Yeah, demalling.
Demalling.
Demalling, right? So, we all know the struggles the department stores have had, are having, continue to have, I suppose. And I think more than anything, a lot of those, Sears, Penny's to a big degree too, are more than a department store. They're more of a real estate company now who owns their box, owns their land. The mall owners are buying those back. So what do they do with that land that's left over? It was a parking field before. Certainly malls are way overparked except for maybe Christmas time, a couple of days of the holiday. So what do they do with those? We have I think successfully started to look at those and plan multifamily and plan different uses even for some of the existing department stores that are going to remain as a box in place, but are being backfilled with like a WeWork, a shared working environment, some medical office, and some other type of office as well. And then a lot of people are looking to bring in hospitality into those areas as well, because here's a large vacant tract next to a mall, next to a very urbanized area where now there's a little bit of land available for that.
Yeah. A lot of these municipalities like the retail, and they like having the retail there, and for lots of reasons, but in some cases it's not really viable, and you need to come in and make some changes.
Right.
What have you guys seen related to helping clients with municipalities, really zoning and getting things changed?
Yeah, I think we really initially will dig into exactly what the city's future vision is for that area. Mm-hmm. And I think that everyone wants to make things a bit more walkable, mm-hmm. somewhere where you don't have to just drive and leave, and something that is a real amenity not only to the owner, the developer, but it's an amenity to the community also. Mm-hmm. So that walkability, that connectivity, maybe to green trails and paths and things like that. So we're pretty heavily involved in the planning process at the front end and the design process at the front end, and work really closely with city planners to try and see what's viable at the beginning. But I think that the keys are that connectivity somehow, whether it's transit connectivity, where it's bike path connectivity, or walkability. And the idea that people can get there in other ways other than their cars is becoming very important.
Yeah. Another use that we've helped folks with, and it's not as sexy as a lot of the uses, but self-storage.
Yeah, it's, for sure.
Maybe on the back of the site somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ryan, what would you leave our audience with to think about retail and when they're trying to come up with creative ways to think about what to do with some of these retail properties around the country?
You know, I think that one of the things that people have to do at the beginning is really look hard at the existing site plan. Sites change over time. How people come and visit properties change over time. Traffic patterns change over time. So I think that there are always opportunities with the existing shopping center, with the bones of that site and with the bones of the building that don't necessarily require huge architectural changes. Mm-hmm. To make, and this is an architect saying that, we don't have to change the building that much yeah. to make it great. I think that if you can start to take advantage of some of the things that you have on the site, maybe some more public gathering areas can be thought about and be created. Connectivity to other sites, connectivity across the site, and providing some opportunities for the retailers to really be able to go in and do their own thing, to bring some life to the center. Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes things get missed. It's easy to kind of go in there with a vision and say, you know, we're going to completely rip off the front of the center and redo something different. Mm-hmm. And the tack that we take is that we really can figure out maybe what the best thing, the most efficient thing is with the existing bones of the center and the site, mm-hmm. to improve it incrementally, but make a big change in the value of the center.
Yeah,
that way.
Well, that's good tips, and I know you're ahead of me on this, but one of the things I like to see is great lighting in some of these projects, and
sure.
and then also music. Sometimes when I go into a site that it's got some music playing, you know, it's like if you watched a movie with no music or you watch a movie with music, it's a big change.
Oh, for sure.
You know.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I'm sorry. Lighting is a important factor, just yeah. so people can see some activity, just so they can yeah. see what's there.
Yeah.
I think is a tremendous change at really a low cost most of the
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, thanks for joining us. Great information.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And if you'd like more information, check them out. It's Dwell Design Studio. They do some great projects all around the country. And stay with us. We'll have one more segment on creative adaptive uses for retail properties. I'm Michael Bull. This is America's Commercial Real Estate Show. Stay with us.
America's Commercial Real Estate Show is brought to you by Bull Realty. For customized asset and occupancy solutions, visit bullrealty.com. Commercial Agent Success Strategies, incredible training for commercial agents. Visit commercialagentsuccess.com. Red IQ, turning multifamily data into actionable intelligence. Visit rediq.com.